guys this. I appreciate you guys from the bottom of my heart. I'm not the world's best at showing that because, honestly, I'm hard on people. I'm harder on myself than anybody. If you knew how I beat myself up, you would see how easy I take it on you. Anybody that's around me or knows me knows how I beat myself up. But I love you guys. And I really think that God, I know that God has a purpose for you. And so when I give these words, I don't take them lightly. I don't even like to speak. I'm kind of quiet on my own. But, you know, when God gives me a word, I'm going to be obedient and try to give that word to you. But you know what we were talking about last night was this point as we transitioned to the sermon, into the word. It's amazing as we look at the end of this year and look forward, how that people will be about a movement. And I mean now, but also biblically, how people will be about a movement. They'll be so charged up and they'll give you all this feedback and say, wow, this has been so great. And wow, I feel this. And wow, this and that. And they be about it. They're about it for months, days, sometimes years. And then how one thing, one feeling hurt or one misunderstanding or one theological difference or one rumor or one something will happen. And that person will ignore years and years or months and months and jump. Jump ship. We were talking about this last night. Of course, it happened to Jesus, so if it happens to Jesus, I'm assuming it'll happen to us. And there's a difference if God sends people other places. There's a way to do that. That's awesome. You know, I'm about training our youth or training our ministry and sending them out. There's a whole world out there. But it's a difference between that and then jumping ship. And just saying, you know what, my feelings are hurt. Or, oh, you know what, I heard this about the pastor. Or, you know what, I don't believe the way they're doing this. Or, I disagree with what they're teaching. Or, I disagree with this or that. And they just jump. There's always an excuse, right? And so what we talked about was why. And then I started thinking, you know, as God was talking, using this conversation, people are people. I'm just a human being. And if you look at me hard enough to try to find something wrong, Josh, you'll find something. And you know what? If I look at you hard enough to try to find something wrong, I'll find it. But you know what? If I look for something good in you, if I look for some reason in you to believe, some reason to think that maybe this year can be different for you, if I look at you with that kind of expectation, you know what I believe? I'll find it. I believe I'll find it. So it's really not about me or Dad or you, or we're just people. God has given us a vision. God has given you a vision. God has given us all a vision and brought us together for this point. It's about what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for a better year? Are you looking for have a powerful expectation about this year? Because I believe this. I believe there are no accidents in this room. I believe you are here for a purpose and a reason for this particular season. I believe God has you planted exactly where He wants to plant you. I believe you have a powerful purpose in this place. I believe 2016 can be and will be, if you choose, the best year of your life. I believe it'll be better than 2015. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe your future is bright. I believe you're the head, not the tail. I believe you're more than a conqueror. I believe you are blessed coming and going. And I believe you are going somewhere. I believe you are going somewhere. So if you think I'm just here to tear you down, you're wrong. I'm here because God sent me, but also because I believe in you. I believe in God's plan inside of you. I believe in God's purpose for you. And I believe that you have the ability, but because of the Holy Spirit, to see this thing through. I believe you are a finisher. I believe you won't just start the race, but you're going to finish the race. I believe you are a finisher in 2016. Will there be problems in 2016? Yes, Larry, there's giants in this land, but you ought to see the fruit in that land. Let me tell you something. I believe you will finish in 2016 what you start. I believe that we have a powerful move of the Holy Spirit in this place. And I believe that you have a part to play. I don't believe in bench sitters. We do have roles. We do all have different roles. You know, we were talking about that last night too. We all preach David. I'm not trying to bring you down. Kathy, you all can come get set up, honey. I do believe in different roles. You know that we all preach David, and we preach to a crowd of 5,000. There's 5,000 Davids in the audience. We can all apply David. But there's Benaiahs, and there's warriors, and there's cooks, and there's all kinds of roles. We all have a role to play. But I do not believe, and don't pay attention, they're just going to sleep. A lot of people sleep when I preach. I'm used to it. And that's okay. Because Paul preached alone one time, somebody fell asleep and fell out of the window and died, and they had to heal him. So if you all fall out and somebody hits your head, we'll pray for you. But I won't take offense. Don't pay no mind to them. They're just sleeping. You got to leave me room to sit. I don't want to stomp on anybody's head. I'm getting old. I have to sit down every once in a while. But I believe there are no bench sitters in this room. If you're looking for a place just to go slip in and slip out and not make a difference and not be challenged and not grow and not be the hands and feet of Jesus and not minister, this is probably not going to be a comfortable joint. Now, you can come and do what you want. Nobody's going to beat you up. But what I mean by that is, I believe in God's plan for your life. And I love nothing more than to see when the fire of God sprouts in people and they truly get it. And they go places they didn't think they could go. And they do things they didn't think they would do. And they finish things they didn't think they'd finish. When they shock the world. See, I'm an old Muhammad Ali guy. I'm an old Cassius Clay guy. He says, I shook up the world. I still get excited when people shake up the world. I still get excited when people blow expectation through the roof. I still get excited when people surprise people. Because everybody in this room is subject to labels. I'm getting ready to go to the scripture. Everybody in here is subject to labels, and we've all been typecast, and in our own mind, we put ourselves in boxes. You know? Reminds me. I think it's an interesting thing that we find the need to always defend our faith. In other words, we let other people set the battle that we have to fight. I like what C.S. Lewis says. My God is alive. He does not need defended. I just got to let him out of that little box and let him do what he does. He's a lion. I don't need to defend my faith. I'll just tell you, you follow him and you can change the world. I can tell you, you follow him and your life will change. The world don't tell me how to fight, what I have to talk about, what I have to defend. I'm just going to follow Jesus. But I just get so excited. Because this is a finishing people right here. A lot of people start races. My little runner. This is no insult. I'm just saying, with those legs, you're a little petite girl. You run a lot more than these big tall people because you have to run a lot more steps, Miss Selena does. But you know what? She's a finisher. She's a finisher. So this year, as we look ahead, and that's, I think, what God wants us to do. I think God wants to do a couple things today. He wants to, one, encourage you and tell you that you're a finisher. He wants to tell you that he has a plan for you this year. And he wants to tell you that this year can be a great year. Yes, there's going to be problems. There always is. Jesus told us there'd be problems. In this world, you'll have problems. But he also said he's overcome the world. So listen, there's going to be problems. But you are an overcomer. You are a finisher. But what do you see and what do you want? Because if you want an excuse to jump off ship, I'll write you one right now. I'll sign it. like a hall monitor pass. You don't need to come to me and give me one. I'll sign you one. I can find you excuses if that's what you want. If you're looking for an excuse, I'll give you one. I've heard them all. Or if you're looking to change the world and finish what you start, then let's get in line. Let's run together, boys. I like to roll with you. You're just the kind of man and woman I want to run with. You're just the kind of man and woman I want to run with if that's your goal. So we're going to look at the scripture. We're going to start with a scripture for 2016. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 is where we're going to start. And I believe this is a powerful scripture to look forward to 2016. Let me ask you this as you turn. I want you to, and you're turning, I know, so you, I hope you're a multitasker like me. I need to probably do less multitasking. I want you to take 1 second to reflect on 2015. And I want you to ask yourself, how was I blessed this year? Think of something. I know we like to think of the bad things that happened to us. You know, we all have those things. We like to dwell on those. It's like one negative, you know, it's like a dead rat. It's like a rotten apple. One rotten apple seems to stink a whole lot worse than a thousand good ones taste, you know? But I want you to think, in 2015, name one blessing you had. Are you alive? Did you starve to death? Was your family killed in a civil war? Do you freeze to death? Have you lost any limbs to frostbite? I want you to see one thing you're blessed with this year. I hope you saw 1,000, but I want you to see one. Now I want you to see this. Are there things I would like to see more of or better in 2016? In other words, am I satisfied or do I want more? And I want you to see those things. If you have your scripture and you would stand for the reading of the word, 2 Corinthians 5:11. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Powerful word I'm going to start with. Then I'm going to preach a short word. I'm aware of the time. As far as the Holy Spirit lets me, we'll get out of here as quick as He lets us. But you know, at the same time, I'm here to see lives change. Not to give a little cute program, but to see lives change. 2 Corinthians 5:11. You have to say amen. Here we go now. Because we understand, this is to the body, our fearful responsibility to the Lord. We work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere. And I know, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us. So you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we're crazy, man, look at this, this is Paul. If it seems we're crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all have died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others. Listen to this, old critic. We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Critic, at one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. Oh, but how differently we know Him now. Listen to this verse, 2016. All those listening on Ustream, on podcast, on iTunes, here today and Wise. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. You may be seated. Do you receive that word? You are a new people. You're not the failure. You're not depressed. You're not lonely. You're not messed up. You're not a drug addict. You're not a loving, loveless person. You're not a person who's been dropped. You're not a person with no purpose. You're not a person who's a mistake. You're not any of those things, because when you know Christ, you are a new person, a new creature, and old things are gone. Those old things are gone. Those old weaknesses are gone. Those old limitations are gone. Those old insecurities are gone. Those old hurts are gone. If you're a new creature, you're new. If you're a new creature, you're new. You can't be old and new. If you're new, you're new. You know, there's a song, and I don't think many people in this room will know it, hopefully. But some of you might. Let me ask you this question if you're in here. You ever heard a song, there's a lyric that goes, "Don't save her, she don't want to be saved." Anybody heard that? Somebody's laughing. You've heard that. You laugh. You heard that? You heard that, okay. Shame on you. We got to pray for you. You should not know that song. YouTube MVA videos. Whoo, when you got an 8-year-old, 9-year-old. Anybody else know that song? You're afraid. Everybody's afraid to raise their hand. I know we don't have just one. Anybody else? Dom shaking his head. Dom, no. Huh? All right, you know. I don't know much about that song, but apparently it's J. Cole or somebody. I don't know. I'm the only preacher in America that just said that song. I promise you. But no, I heard that lyric. You know, Jake watches these NBA videos, highlights with a Duncan and all this. And I got to kind of watch what he listens to. But that lyric I heard, and it was like Scooby-Doo. Whoop, whoop. All right. My ears popped up. Said, "Don't save her. She don't want to be saved." And I don't know what that cat meant when he wrote that song, but boy, it spoke to me. Don't save her. She don't want to be saved. So God starts using these things in me. I'm crazy like that. If you haven't figured it out. I start thinking, do we want to be saved? Do we want to be well? Now, and we're all saying, yeah, but think about it. Stop. And I appreciate the support. I like the feedback. It makes it easier up here. Do we want to be happy? Do we really want it? Or do we just say it? I mean, if I say to you, do you want to be happy? Oh, yeah. Duh. But it goes deeper than that. Do you want to be loved? Really? Do you really want it? Do you want to walk in purpose? Oh, yeah, preacher, I do. Do you? Do I? I'm not just beating you up. Do I? Do I want this? Do I really want it? Let's change the world. Do you really want it? Do I really want it? Do you want to be off drugs? Yeah. Do you really want it? And you say, "Wow, that's a deep, loaded question." Yeah. Sounds easy at first till you really start thinking about it, don't it? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be saved? And so how my mind goes and how the Holy Spirit works on me, I went from J. Cole to John 5. And that's what I want to look. So if you can look if you want. They'll put it up there. John 5 is where I'm going to share just a minute from. It's a powerful story. And I'm going to read it. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Most people think this is Passover, which means this is about a year into Jesus' ministry. So this is a young preacher. I mean, he was the Son of God, so he had good credentials, but this was a guy young in ministry. And he showed up in Jerusalem. You know, Jesus didn't spend much of his time in Jerusalem, really. He was from Nazareth. He was from the mountains, the hill country. He was from the backwoods. He wasn't from the big metropolitan city. His people were common people. His people were fishermen. His people were rebels. His people were people that a lot of people looked down upon. Jesus, even the people from Galilee, even had a funny accent, like hillbillies. But this occasion, Jesus went to the big city. Jesus went to the big city. He went to Jerusalem for the festival. And inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda. That word means house of grace and mercy. And within that, there were five covered porches. And crowds of sick people were gathered there. This is like an infirmary. Listen, if you're looking for a country club church, you're in the wrong building. I should say that. Go find another one. This is not a country club. This is a hospital. This is an infirmary. This is a place for sick people to get well. This is a place for hurting people to get well. This is a place where people get strong and we hope to send them out and make an impact in the community. This is a place where you can come just as you are and we won't judge you. Do we preach sin? Absolutely we preach sin. But we preach grace and we preach the blood is greater than the sin. And we preach you can change and you can be a new creation, a new creature. We preach that Jesus really did die and he really did rise from the grave and he really did ascend to the Father. And he really does have purpose for you. And he really meant it when he said, come follow me. And he really meant it when he said, go out among all nations and make disciples. That he really did want us to do something. That it wasn't about just sitting up home and not doing anything bad. But that he really meant it when he said, go do something. I just take him for his word. And I try not to add in my own spins. That's been, like Dad talked about, defragmentization. I'm not a computer guy. I buy Apple. I don't have to be. The computer guy's got that joke. Some of you are like, what is he talking about? But you know, sometimes we need to be deprogrammed because we grow up with certain beliefs. But if you read the Bible, it's not in there. So that's what we all have to do. We have to start really getting to the truth. But Jesus came to this place. Jesus came to the city. Here's the Son of God into his ministry. He's a hot young preacher. He's starting to do things. He's starting to get a reputation. He's starting to heal people. He's starting to get followers. He's getting to be a pretty big deal. And he goes to the city. That would have been a pretty cool thing. Here comes Jesus, the one we've heard about, and he's coming to the city. Where will he go? Will he go into the temple and give a big message? Will he go up on the mountain and have the whole countryside come and see him? Will he sell out the arena? Where will he go? Where can we book Jesus? Do we have a big enough venue? Do we have enough tickets sold? Do we have it all planned out? Can we plan it out? Can we get the flyers out? Can we get it out there? But where'd he go? He went to a pool with a bunch of hurting, sick people. People said, why have you spent 7 years driving 4 hours a night to go see inmates? Aren't there people around here? I don't know. Jesus just said, go where there's sick people. Go where there's hurting people. Why would you fool with people who keep relapsing, trying, relapsing, trying, relapsing, trying. Because Jesus went to where the sick people were. Why don't you fool with good people? Because the well need not a physician. He went to a pool. And the Bible says, laying all around the pool were sick people. Crowds of them. Blind. People can't see. They get blind. people who lose their vision get blind. When you have no vision, when you're blind, you don't know which way to go. You're confused. Have you ever been confused and you feel like you have no, don't know which way to go? Where do I turn? Where do I go? What do I do? I know I want out of this situation. I know I want out of this mess. I know I want more for my life. But how do I do it? Where do I go? I can't see. I'm blind. People without a vision perish because they can't see. Have you ever felt blind? Meaning, have you ever felt like, I'd like more, but I can't see how to get there from here? How do I get there from here? There were blind people. There were lame people. People that couldn't move. People that lost the ability to ambulate. They lost the ability to go where they wanted to go. Sometimes we can get ourselves in a situation where we feel so trapped. We don't feel like we can go where we need to go. We don't feel like we can do what we need to do. We feel powerless. There's people in this room, and I've been there with you. There's people in this room that feel powerless. You feel powerless in your situation. Is that real? Is that true, some of us? Yeah. Paralyzed. Can't move. I'm froze. I'm stuck. There's people in this room that feel stuck. You feel stuck in your situation. You feel trapped in your situation when you're paralyzed. If you're paralyzed and I set you here, and I took off and I closed the door and I turned the lights out, you'd still be here when I come back. You can't move. You're stuck. Some of your life goes by. The parade marches by. The crowd marches by. Life's going by. And you're stuck. Not knowing how much time we even have. And we waste days while life passes us by. Missing opportunities while life passes us by. This sounds like a woeful place that Jesus chose to go. It sounds like a depressing place. When you go into a sick wing, when you go into a funeral home, in the world's point of view, it can be a depressing place. There's sickness. There's near death. There's stuck people. There's people with no vision. There's people who are lame. There's people who are paralyzed. They're miserable people. They be moaning. Oh, oh, miserable in their situation. This would not have been a happy place for Jesus to go. The world would have seen these people and heard, covered their eyes. Sometimes when we pass that guy on beside the road with the sign, we don't even want to make eye contact because there's something in it that troubles us. Yes, maybe we judge him too, but there's something in us that troubles us when we see his impotence, when we see his situation, when we see her problem. We don't want to make eye contact because it condemns us. It's easier to drive by when we don't look in the eye. And you know what? I've done that. Haven't you? We pass by, and I know we have to use discernment, and there's some safety issues with certain situations, and I know that. But why then do we not look them in the eye when we drive by? Why do we look the other way? Why do we look at our cell phone? Why do we knobs the radio? Well, some of us do, Regan. Sometimes. But not all the time, Regan. I'm guilty of not looking in the eye. And that's why if you ever do homeless ministry, and we did some powerful stuff at the bridge. I was real impressed with this guy. You know, you can give them people when they're down and out food, and that help, they need that. But you know what really want to shock their world? Spend a little time and just get up and look them right in the eye and talk to them. Touch them. They've not been touched in so long. People act like they're dirty or something's going to jump on them. Touch them. Touch feels good. We're so scared to touch people. Oh, my goodness. Oh, if I touch somebody, it's scandalous. It's evil. Oh, man. Touch somebody. Jesus touched a lot of people. He touched people they said you shouldn't touch. He touched them anyway, and the world changed. Maybe if we want to see our world change, we need to start doing what Jesus did. But I saw these guys that would get down in these guys' dirt, man, these gals, too, and get right down in their dirt. Right down and just make eye contact. Look at me. Say, I love you. And I don't have the solution for everything, but I know a man who can. I can point you the right direction, and you know, maybe I can make a few calls for you. I can't make the world just peachy and rosy and everything else, but you know what? Maybe I can make a few calls, and maybe I can point you to a few agencies, and maybe I can give you a dollar for a hamburger, and maybe also while I'm at it, I can give you a little wooden cross, and maybe while I'm at it, I can sit here and put my hand on you and pray a little while with you and let you know I love you and look you in the eye and let you know I'm not better than you or don't think I'm better than you and get right down with you. Maybe I can do that. Jake gets on to me when I pass people. So I try not to. But that's where Jesus went. And there was this reason they went there. I'm going to skip ahead. But basically, they had this, they felt like the water would be stirred once a year, that an angel would come and stir the water. And they felt like that the way they believed was that the first person who jumped in that water when it was stirred would be healed. But only the first. Doesn't sound much like Jesus' philosophy, but it does sound a little bit like the Old Testament philosophy. But the first person who jumped in other words, of all the sick people, I guess the least sick, or the luckiest, or the one that could jump the fastest, or the one that could stumble in and just get lucky that year, but one person who could get in that water would be healed. And the rest, we just have to keep laying there in their mess. The word that was used in the Greek, as you know, the Bible was written in Greek, is impotent people. And what impotent means is unable to help yourself. That's what the word means. So in other words, all these people were unable to help themselves. How many knows we are truly an impotent people? In our flesh, we are impotent people. You are not able to save yourself. That is why you needed a Savior, a Messiah. On this day in Bethlehem is born a Messiah, a Savior, because I needed saving and because you needed saving. That's the problem. I believe there's great principles in psychology. I've studied it. I know a little bit about it. There's some interesting principles. It's very interesting. But you get right down to it. Why it fails ultimately is this. I can't save myself. I'm not a good God. I'm not even that good of a man. No man is good but the Father, said Jesus. So I'm telling you this, I'm not a good man. I'm definitely not a good God. So I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. You need a Savior. You need a Messiah. You need someone to pull you out of your mess. And I got good news. I got good news. I know a man who can. I know a man who can. I got good news. So all these people were laying here, impotent, unable to save themselves, unable to help themselves. It was a dark time to be this way, because in the Old Testament theology, they were seen as cursed by God. They were seen, they surely had to do something wrong. Remember what the disciples said. Man's been blind from birth. What could he have done? Was it his parents? They thought something had to be wrong for God to curse these people. Sometimes we're that way. Oh, what have I done? I must have done something horrible. Maybe we did. There are repercussions to our actions. But sometimes also life happens. I can tell you this. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. And it's not to lay around impotent. It's not to lay around blind. It's not to lay around lame. It's not to lay around paralyzed. Even though we will go through problems. Yes, we will. But He has made you to be something special. And it's time we claim it as God's people. It's time we claim it. Do you want to get well this year? Do you want to be well this year? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? So he walks in and he walks up to one guy. Always interesting when I see these, how Jesus, of course he's Jesus. He walks up to one guy. One guy. I see you. And that guy been sick, impotent, helpless for 38 years. This guy right here. I wish we had spotlights, man. High tech. We'll get high tech, maybe. Don't need high tech. We just need Jesus. And that man had been laying there 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, he knew he'd been ill a long time. Sometimes you can look at people. If we'll look, we can tell. We get sick, hurting, a long time. Some of us have been hurt. Wear it differently. We all react differently. Some of us put on a show, and some of us seek attention, and some of us do this, and some of us do that. And we all react differently. But when you get down to it, you can tell we've all been hurting for a long time. Jesus went to that man. 38 years. 38 years, impotent, unable to save himself, laying in a group of sick people with not much hope, except that if he could somehow be the one that stumbled in the water. Some of you, that's how we live our lives. Some of us, that's how we've lived our lives. Some of me, that's how I live my life. Day after day, monotony. Just hoping today I stumble into something that makes it better. Day after day, doing the same thing over and over. Just hoping today I stumble into a blessing and something changes. Is that our plan? Is that our plan for happiness? If we really look at it, is that some of our plan? Maybe today be my lucky day. The lottery ticket mentality. I'll just keep spending money I don't have and scratching tickets. And maybe one day I'll hit the jackpot. That was this man. But Jesus went up to him. Let me tell you something. Jesus approaches us all. Jesus is here. You were created by a holy God. He knew you in your mother's womb. He had a purpose for you before you were even born. You are in fact a God dream. He dreamed you. Your life is living out his dream. Some people say, I want God to make all my dreams come true. No, you got it wrong. You're to make all of God's dreams come true. He dreamed you. And not only did he create you with special, powerful, unique purpose, he thought enough of you because of our sin problem and because we are mess ups to send his son, perfect, righteous, and holy, to have to leave the paradise of heaven. A God, all God and all man on earth, who had never known pain, who had never known hurt, who had never known sin, who had never known rejection, who had never known people backbiting him and gossiping about him and turning on him. He never had to know any of that. And he came to this earth and took on all that so you could be redeemed, so you could be restored, your relationship with God could be restored. And not only did he do that, he preached and he ran and he healed people, but he died on a cross. He was punished. He was whipped. He was tortured. He was crucified. And he laid there, not just one death, but a billion deaths, as he bore the weight of all the sin of all time. You talking about a burden. It's not just about the nails. Yes, the nails hurt. It's not just about the spear. Yes, the spear hurt. It's not just about a crown of thorns. Yes, that hurt. It's not just about the mockery and the beard being pulled and plucked and about the people making fun of him and yelling at him. Yes, that hurt. But have you ever stopped to consider? You have guilt sometimes for things you've done. Yeah. Hurt suddenly when you have a burden on you. Oh, why did I do that? Oh, why did I do that? Have you had that? He bore every single weight of every guilt and sin of every human being ever created. That's what the real punishment of the cross is about. A lot of people die. Grant's seen a lot of people die. And it's hard, and I know that, and I'm making light of it. But it's not just the fact he died. It's the fact that while he hung there, he took on your sin. That pain that you feel that you're struggling with, he's already bore it. Throw it back down. Quit picking it back up. Quit picking it back up. He's already carried it up a hill. It's removed as far as the east from the west. You got to stop playing with dead things. Those things are dead because he bore it. See, that's the punishment of the cross. We don't teach that enough. We focused on death, and it was a death. But it was bearing my sins. He loved you enough not only to create you, but to die for you. You were that special to him. People in here struggle. I'm not special. Does anybody love me? Does anybody make me special? Am I number one for anybody? I tell you what, I don't know. But you're number one to him. I don't know what circles you run with. I don't know how they esteem you. But I know a man who loves you enough to die for you. So he went to that one man like he's coming to you and me today. January, what is today? 3rd, 2016. He's walking up to you as you lay. And me, big boy here. Big boy still struggles. I was talking to somebody, I won't point him out. I was talking to somebody in here this morning about it. They were talking about struggling. I said, I struggle. I have depression sometimes. I have bad thoughts sometimes. I have worry sometimes. People's little gossip gets in my head sometimes. You know, I try not to. I try to act tough. I try to be the throat puncher. But I anguish. People's barbs hurt me. I act like they don't. I act like I'm Mr. Macho. I act like I'm Mr. Tough. But when people talk bad about me, when they jump off my ship, when they say spread lies about me, when they spread lies about my father, when they do things like that, when they spread lies about my friends, I get upset sometimes. It hurts my feelings sometimes. Is that okay to say? I'm not immune to it just because I'm anointed. Just because God gives me words to share, I'm not immune to being depressed. I'm not immune to being talked about. I'm not immune to being sad. I'm not immune to all this stuff that you guys go through. We all go through it together. So today, as January 3rd starts, as 2016 starts, he's coming up to me too. In fact, he was coming up to me all morning. And all night. He's coming up to you right now. And this is the question for 2016. We know he loves you. We know he died for you. We know he created you. We know, as the prophet Jeremiah says, you have a purpose and a plan on your life. We know all those things. But here's the question I want you to ponder in 2016. This is what he said. He could have said anything. This is the question that Jesus asked. This man who had been sick 38 years had been coming to this place, probably been carrying, thrown down. It would have been such a trouble to get there. It would have been such a hard thing to get there. When you're going through an injury, when you're going through an illness, it's hard to get places. It's hard to get places, isn't it, brother? When you're going through an injury or sickness, you feel like you're a burden, and it's hard. Oh, it takes extra time, and it's work, and sometimes you get to a point, I'll just stay home. I don't want to be an inconvenience. This guy had to work to get there. People would have had to carry him. They didn't have cars. People would have carried him just to get to this spot. And Jesus has this moment to say something very profound. He could have said some big scripture. He could have said some holy thing. You know what he said? He asked him a question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be well? Now, at first read, I think, Jesus, that sounds a little, I mean, I'm not being disrespectful to Jesus, he's Jesus. But it almost sounds a little sarcastic, doesn't it? Or almost nonsensical. What do you mean, does he want to be well? He's been sick 38 years. He's gone through all this trouble year after year to get to this pool, to lay there hoping he can flop in first. And you ask him, does he want to be well?
wouldn't want to be well.
But I can promise you, Jesus is not sarcastic. Sarcasm is a negative emotion. I can promise you, Jesus is not nonsensical. Every word that comes out of this man's mouth is powerful, and it's meant for you and me. So when he asked this man that question, do you want to be well? We got to stop and pause a minute on that question. Because really, isn't that the crux? If he's made a plan for you, if he's died for you, if he's made a redemption possible for you, if he sent his Holy Spirit for you, if he's called you, then the only reason you wouldn't walk in that would be you really don't want it. Vince Lombardi, Kelly, I butcher this, but Kelly knows the quote. Everybody wants to win, but few have the will to do the preparation necessary to win. Or another paraphrase, former Mr. Olympia Ronnie Coleman said, everybody want to be a bodybuilder, but ain't nobody want to lift no heavy weight. If I first ask you that question at the first of the service, do you want to be well? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be not addicted? Do you want to be not depressed? Do you want to be loved? Everybody would say, sure, preacher, that's stupid. Are you being sarcastic? Are you insulting our intelligence? No. Do you really want it? Do I really want it? Or am I just lip service? I like what Peter Putnam said. He said, sometimes we can become complacent in our own state of dysfunction. You seen that? We can get to a point where it's dysfunctional, but that's just where we live. It's chaos, but that's where we live. It's drama, but that's how we live. That's how we roll. That's what we do. Do you want to be well in 2016? Because I can tell you, I know a man who can make you well. I can tell you, there's a very enemy to your soul named Satan who will play mind games and tell you you can't be well. Tell you this don't apply to you. That preacher don't know what he's talking about. You got too much going against you. Preacher don't know what it's like to be you. Preacher don't know what it's like to be addicted. Preacher don't know what it's like to be unloved. Preacher don't know what it's like to go through my past. Preacher don't know what it's like to have my trauma. I don't. He does. But I can tell you this. I don't think you can answer any other question. I can't even read the rest of the scripture. I will. Just like two sentences. Until you answer that question. Jesus found it so important. That was the question he led with. He didn't give him a big scripture. He didn't preach over him. He didn't condemn him. He didn't yell at him. He didn't say, well, you're a sinner. You're bad. You don't believe like me. We do. He didn't fight over his religion. He didn't put other people down. He didn't stop him while he was down. He said, do you want to be well? That's the question today. You look at your life. I look at my life. Look at the things we're struggling with. Look at the things that, and we all react differently, but you think, look at your life. Do you really want it different this year? Don't save her. She don't want to be saved. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be well? Jesus said, the man said this, the sick man. And this is what a lot of us do. I can't, sir. Hear that? Self-doubt. I don't believe in Jesus. Jesus Christ in flesh is standing before him. The man who healed healed all these people who rose the people from the dead, who walked on water, whose very touch withered limbs would form. Was standing there. That man hadn't had an ounce of hope in 38 years, and somebody's standing there giving him hope. Somebody actually is speaking positive in his life. Maybe he didn't see it all the way, but at least somebody was looking him in the eye and taking a moment to believe in him. And the man looks at Jesus and says, "I can't. I can't." He said this. He said, "I can't, sir, for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. And somebody always gets there ahead of me. I can't, Jesus. I'm the worst. Somebody's better than me. I can't, Jesus. I'm depressed. I can't, Jesus. I've been through too much. I can't, Jesus. It's just a hard time for me. I can't, Jesus. I'm just quiet. I can't, Jesus. I don't believe like they believe. I can't, Jesus. I'll just lay here in my dysfunction." Even though, for the first time in 38 years, somebody was taking the time to look him in the eye and care about him. So then I think this, as we're coming to a close. If he didn't think he could get in the water first, why did he make all the effort year after year to come? Have you thought of that? Listen to that point. We're closing. But if he really didn't believe he could be healed, because Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And he says, I can't get in the pool first. Then why, man, did you make people carry yourself, your old sorry self, year after year, time after time, day after day, and drop you amongst a bunch of sick people to moan amongst each other and whine amongst each other if you really didn't think it would do any good? If you really didn't think it would do any good, why would you go through all that trouble? Then I started thinking about church. Just how my mind works as the Spirit, Holy Spirit works on me. Why do people who don't want to get well, me included sometimes, take all that time and all that trouble to get up on Sunday morning and shower and shave on a day I might not even have to shave on? And believe it or not, I do shower on Sunday morning. Some of you don't think I do. Why do we take the time to go all through all the trouble to get up Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, travel all over here, get here early, fight this crowd? Oh, it's crowded in here. Listen, that old loud music, it's too loud for me. I don't like that loud. That shofar messes me up. Why does he blow that shofar? That went out in the Old Testament. That's crazy. Oh, why do they preach the way they do? Why don't they preach out of this translation? Why don't they dress a little nicer? That boy needs to wear a suit. He owns suits. He's a lawyer. Why does he dress the way he dresses? Do. And worse. You know why? Because sometimes we just go through the motions. We just keep living like Groundhog Day, that movie Bill Murray, over and over and over and over. We keep coming and plopping our old sorry tails on the pew, me included, hoping maybe I'll just flop into something this year. Maybe I'll flop into a blessing. Maybe they'll play a song and I'll get a little excited for a minute. But I go home the same way. And maybe I'll get pumped up for a couple weeks and then I'm back to moaning and groaning, blind, lame, and impotent, crying. Because maybe I've not committed to the idea that I want to be well. And that I can be well. And that he died for me to be well. Because otherwise I cannot see why that man, when he was given the question, even if he didn't fully believe yet in Jesus, he had no other hope. If I said, "Here's a free lottery ticket," you'd scratch it. You may not think your odds are great, But if you're down on your luck and you don't have food and your baby's starving, you'd give that one hope one chance. Here's a man who actually gave him a word of hope. And he said, I can't. Is that us? In our situation, in our hurt, in our depression, in our addiction, in our loneliness, in our stress, in our life, in our problems. Do you want to be well? I can't get well. Just go through the motions as life rolls past. And Jesus Christ is standing before us, loving us, caring about us. But Jesus says this. Here's where we're going to park the bus, Harless. He says this, man. That's that man. Do you want to get well? And he's worried, he's got cancer. But Jesus says this. Stand up. Stand up. Only that's your cue, son. You didn't just limp up. When Jesus says stand up, you pick up your mat and you get up. He didn't say limp up. You stand up. Come here, Odie. Behold, all things are new. All creatures are new. You run, Odie. You run, son. You run up there and out, Odie. You run. Run back, Odie. Run, Odie. Jump, Odie. Jump, Odie. You gotta get this. Odie, do you want to be well? Yes. Jump. Run. Choice, because Jesus is in this place. Jesus is in this place. He was in here doing the praise and worship. He was waiting on us when we opened up the church this morning. He's in this place right now, and he's standing before you, and he's asking you a question. Do you want to be well? Do you really want to be well? Well, not do you just say it. Do you really want it? Like you want to breathe. Let me tell you something. If I started choking your oxygen out, if I put my hand around this big old horse's neck, he'd probably beat me up. But assuming I could somehow get him down, and I start choking him, and the air started leaving him, he would fight because he wants to breathe. He wants to breathe. There's something inside of him that wants to breathe. No matter how hard I choke, he'll fight. He'll gasp. He'll do whatever it takes to breathe. If you want to get well that bad, friend, then today you will leave different than how you came. You want it that bad, then today will be your day. Quit making excuses. I'm just a person. I'm not perfect. Today is your day to throw away your excuses and say you want to be well and pick up your mat and walk out of here a new creature. The rest of them got healed too. The rest of them got healed too. It's like if you want it that bad, then you can leave here. Well. So here's your question for 2016. Is this another day? Is this another day, Groundhog Day? And you're going to get up and pick up your mat. And you're going to walk out of here a different creature, a new creature. Or are you going to be carried around the rest of this year? Same old mat, same old problems, more money, more problems. Don't save her. She don't want to be saved. Do you want to be saved? I'm going to finish with this scripture. One scripture I'm going to read, then I'm going to ask you to bow your head. This is a word over you. And you know how I believe it's a word over you? a prisoner at Mountain City. And I tell you what, I'm not wild about people coming up to me necessarily. I'm giving a weakness of mine. Because I believe when I'm in the flow and the Holy Spirit's rolling, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes when everybody wants to come up and say something in the moment. I'll do it at the end, you know. But an inmate came up to me, and my spirit said, this guy has something to say. And so I let him whisper to me. He gave me this scripture, and it's a scripture I knew and know. I preached on it, but it fit. I wasn't even preaching this message, but he said, this is for you guys. And I believe it's not just for Mountain City, but I believe it's for you guys here in 2016. I believe it's for those people on podcasts and those people around the world watching right now. And I believe it's for you sitting right here. 2016, here we go, Isaiah 43:18. But forget all that. Listen, you've had problems. Forget it. Forget all that. You've had situations. Forget all that. Amen. Remove from this far from the east to the west. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. Hang on. For I'm about to do something new. Something new. If you keep doing the same thing, you'll get the same result. But I'm going to do something new. It's a new thing. It's a new thing. We got to go with the new thing. Some people say, well, I don't believe God does anything new because he's the same. You know what? He says, I'm about to do something new. The word of God. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I see it. Oh yeah, you're a little rough around the edges, so am I. But I already see he's starting to do something. Oh, like right before a storm. Oh, I had a Holy Spirit encounter on a mountain one time. And I'd never seen a storm come in like that storm. But right before it did, all the leaves on the trees just started dancing. You may not be seeing the storm yet. You may not be seeing the power of the wind yet in your life. But I'm telling you what, I see leaves a-dancing in this joint. I see leaves a-dancing. You may not see it. You may not believe it. The devil may be talking you out of it. The devil may be putting doubts in your eyes. But I see leaves a-dancing in here. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? You say, I'm in a dark place. I'm in a dry place. The Word of God says this. I will make a pathway through the wilderness. Listen, you say, God, take away my wilderness. Take away my problems. He didn't say he'd take it away. But he said he'd make a pathway right through it. He may not take it away. But he will get you through it. If you keep on marching on, you keep going on, and he'll get you through it. You say, preacher, 2015 was a dry time. But the Word of God says this. I will create rivers in the dry wilderness. You say, I'm in a dry wilderness. I'm in a desert place. I'm in a funk. I'm tired. I'm lonely. It's dry where I am. He's going to make rivers run through your desert. That's straight right from the Word of God.
Yes.
But the question,
yes,
do you want it? Do you want it? Every head bowed.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
I love you guys so much.
Yes.
The God in you excites me. People say, why do you jump around crazy like that? You know why? Because the God in you, the potential in you, the purpose in you excites me so much. I love you. And all I want to see is for all of us to get it. I just want us all to want it. And for God's purpose and will to be done. So here's the question. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you do. Do you want it this year? If you want it, I want you to raise your hand with me. I want it. Do you want to get well? I want you to raise your hand. I want you to keep your hands up this time. We like to put them up now real quick because we're old and we get tired. I'm old and get tired too. But we can switch hands. That's the wonderful thing. God gave us two, so we can switch hands. I want you to make a proclamation right now, because if you want it bad enough like you want to breathe, if you want it bad enough like you want to breathe, you'll hold your hand up. If you want it that bad, you'll hold your hand up. If you don't want it that bad, you'll quit anyway when you leave here. Do you want it? Do you want to get well? Do you want to have hope? Do you want to beat this depression? Do you want to beat this loneliness? Do you want love? Do you want to be well? Just hold them up. Be proud. Be proud. Don't be afraid right now. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. The old ways are something to be afraid of. This depression you're in, this loneliness is something to be afraid of. But the hope of this year is something to be excited about. Hold them up high. Put them up high, not just a little bit. If you want it like you want to breathe, if you want it like you're gasping for air, you would reach as high as you could reach for that air. If you were sinking in water, you would reach as high as you can just to break the surface of that water. I'm going to count to three, and I don't want you to quit right now. The devil says quit. The devil says quit. The devil says quit. I say, shut up, devil. I ain't quitting. 2016, we want it. This body wants it. This crowd wants it. These people want it. They want more of their life. They want to be well. They want to walk. They want to see. They want to love. They want happiness. They want joy. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I'm counting quick. Everybody stand. And in one motion, we move. We move like an army. We move like people wanting it. We move like people hungry. And we're going to pray together as one group who want it together. Are you ready? One. I'm going quick. Two. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Three, move, move, move. Come to front, move. Make room, move, move, move. Come on. You had your hand up, move, move. Get up here, move, move, move. I need altar workers. I need lots of altar workers. Move, move. Hey, you guys got to move. We got to make room. We got to make room. Move around the sides. Move around the sides. Just keep moving around the sides. Go that way, hard work. You keep moving. I need a lot of altar workers around the side. I need Kelly. I need Kelly. Altar workers. I need Kelly. Keep moving. Keep moving. You just push. Climb on pews. You climb on pews if you have to. Push on the side. Really? Let's get over that way, please, honey. You all keep moving. Keep helping. Keep moving. Church.